Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fortress Comic News, episode 356. I am one of your hosts, Chris, alongside my co-host here, Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Nothing. This is the, or as this episode should be called, the pregame before the Super Bowl.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
We should probably say that right off the top. Like, we're recording this before the Super Bowl, so any, like, trailers, shit that happens during the Super Bowl, we'll talk about next week.
They tease most of them before the Super Bowl even comes out now, which is ridiculous. But
what's funny is I was going through and I'm like, oh, they're doing a Deadpool 3 trailer.
Yep.
Maybe we should hold recording. Of course, you know, both of us work day jobs and are pretty busy. So it's kind of outside of what we could do. But
yeah,
I'm like, well, it's just Deadpool.
Yeah.
Because I looked at them like everything else is already announced and pretty much dropped.
Yeah, they dropped like the we'll talk about the like Quiet Place prequel trailer. Have you watched the Quiet Place movies?
I have not.
So it's interesting because like the first one goes from like so it's weird to see that it's not weird, but it's interesting to see the evolution of like A Quiet Place is like a horror movie, the first one. Then part two is kind of like a post-apocalyptic Last of Us style story, kind of depressing, still kind of like more of like an action, not really so much of a horror movie. And then the third one, if you watch the trailer, is like a sci-fi action movie because the premise is like the things come from space that like are attracted to noise. So the first movie is like this trailer is like, oh shit, the things are just dropping from space and they're like running from them, and there's a slew of good actors in it, so it does look really good. But I think it's cool how they kind of built up the universe, starting with like a horror movie, and now it's turned into like a disaster film.
Yeah, isn't it Krasinski?
Yes, he's in the first one. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Emily Blunt.
Ooh, Emily Blunt. His yep. Wife? First couple. Yep. The first two. Yeah. And Cillian Murphy, the Scarecrow from Batman, is in the second one.
Nice.
And then the third one has a few good actors. It's the names, I can't think of them right now, but looks good. I'm excited for it. But yeah, speaking of the trailers, like, and they even start showing trailers for the commercials now. So I miss the days when the commercials would just like, you just get a cold drop of like a crazy commercial. Now they're just like, they tease them for a couple weeks and it's like,
yeah. Cause did you see the Paramount Plus commercial with Hey Arnold?
I have not seen that one yet.
Oh my god. Oh, okay. I'm not going to spoil any further than that then.
Okay, thank you.
But I will say, like, I wish I didn't.
Yeah.
Because it's so good. And yeah, I'm like, if that just popped and we were all just like having a good time drinking.
Yeah, and Hey Arnold comes on.
And that came up. Like when you see it, text me because you're going to be like, holy shit. But
it's probably really good.
Yeah, we would all go off because we're all around the same age.
Yeah.
And we grew up watching Hey Arnold. And
he's football head.
Yeah.
Yep.
But now it's like a week before, someone at work's like, dude, you see this commercial?
And
showed it to me. I'm like, oh, that would have been fun at the Super Bowl, but
it's not as like Star Wars and comic book heavy as like, oh, I remember last year we had like the Flash trailer. We were so pumped. And then we had last year was the Planet of the Apes, and it was the Avatar The Last Airbender trailer, which now Avatar comes out in a couple weeks on Netflix. So
Planet of the Apes comes out soon too.
Yes.
Yeah, within a month.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Yep.
No, it's sad that the state we're in. I'm excited for the Deadpool 3 trailer.
Yeah. Let's hope that it's epic enough to make up for everything.
Which, for anyone that's maybe new, I'm sure there's like two of you.
That's weird.
I don't like Deadpool.
Yeah, he doesn't like Deadpool at all. So this is amazing for him to say that. Yeah.
But we'll talk more about even why later when we get in the movies. But it's like if for that to be like the most exciting thing for me in the comic book world. In terms of multimedia, it's like, whew, we're in a rough spot.
It's been slim pickings lately when I have like Aquaman ready to go on my TV and I choose to not watch Aquaman 2 ready to go. I mean,
is that on Max?
No, you can rent it though. Like I have it, I can rent it and I was going to, but I just don't.
Wait for Max. I'm now one movie behind, not two. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I wasn't that excited for it. It's not in the news, but I'm like iffy on if I should buy the Justice League, the Suicide Squad Justice League video game. I'm the reviews are pretty terrible.
Yeah.
And it's not even like, I mean, yeah, it kind of looks okay. It looks fun, but like, I don't want to pay $70 for a game to have WB shut it down on the servers. Cause you can't, even if you want to play single player, you have to play online.
Oh really? Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those games. So like it could just inevitably be shut down because WB doesn't want to pay for the server space if nobody's playing it. So now I'm like, oh shit, I don't want to, I'm going to wait and see what happens.
This feels like one of those games too, that they're going to, it's not going to do so hot. They're going to like do a bunch of updates to try to bring it back. And then they're going to put it on the free, the quote unquote free services, the Game Pass, the PS Plus, all that stuff.
Yeah. To get people to play it.
And then I'm going to be like, oh, I'm glad I waited.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the premise is cool to make it like a, like some sort of like Destiny game where there's raids involved and like with Brainiac being the villain and stuff. I don't know. Like there is some potential there, but it just, and I'll talk about the comic prequel a little bit later, but
I'll just say, as someone who played through the Avengers one, I just wish it was a single player game. Cause like that Avengers, if that Avengers game came out as a single player game, people would be raving about it.
Yeah. That's what they should have done. All the Batman movies or all the Batman games were single player.
Yeah. And I feel like this is falling in the same trap. Like it was a game that should have been single player, could have come out, made a little bit of money, had some buzz, maybe got a sequel, maybe more money.
Yeah.
Instead, they're like, nope, we're going to go live service and try to get that Fortnite money, which just nobody seems to be able to do. So,
yeah. Just stop trying to be Fortnite. It'll happen organically. Just make a good game.
Yeah. Because honestly, the only games that have come close to that, that have like successfully done it, maybe not to the scale, but like Destiny did it, obviously. That was organic. Sea of Thieves actually does like a really good business too.
Yeah,
under the radar.
Yep, very popular.
And that, I mean, you see a few others. Apex Legends, like there's a few out there, but none of them were like these big IPs.
No,
that were shoehorned into it. It's all been just organic shit. So
like fun stuff that people are like, okay, we'll keep playing this.
Even Fortnite was just this. Dude, I remember playing Fortnite before Battle Royale was a thing.
Yeah,
when it was like a base building. Yep. Basically tower defense game.
Yeah, you didn't fight against other people, right?
Yeah, I played it at a PAX East 1 year, and it was it was bad. But people were really hyped about it, and then at the last second they threw this thing in, it became successful, and then it became an IP machine. So I just, people need to start learning lessons and stop trying to shoehorn. But
just have fun with shit.
Like Cassette Beast that I'm fucking loving right now.
Yeah,
Mike.
Cassette Beast is so good. I beat it. I'm in like the new game plus, but I'm taking a break. Armored Core 6 when it was on sale. And I don't know about you, but I played the Armored Cores as a young lad.
I did not.
I remember like vividly renting them from Showbiz Video because we didn't have a Blockbuster. And they were a lot clunkier back then. This one is very smooth as far as like mech. This game plays like I wanted them to back in the day, like as far as like movement controls, where you're moving on the map and like targeting and stuff. They really figured out how to do the targeting a lot better. And it's a phenomenal game. If you ever played the Armored Cores, if you haven't, it's still a phenomenal game. It's like you battle, I mean, every mission you battle other mechs, you upgrade your mech, rinse and repeat. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm trying to get through, because I know I'm in the third act set piece.
Yeah.
I was actually playing it right before we got on.
Nice.
And I'm trying to beat that because Final Fantasy VII Rebirth comes out.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
I may or may not have taken time off of work to play that fucking game.
Hey, hell yeah, you did. That's awesome. That's awesome. Good for you. Yeah.
And to catalog more comics, because...
Why not?
Mike, I'm through the New 52.
That's an endeavor in itself. Hundreds and hundreds of New 52 comics.
Those four boxes over there
are just New 52.
Just New 52.
Wow. That's crazy.
And then there's more in this box over here. Where is it? Right there.
Yeah.
That I'm getting rid of.
That's insane. Speaking of comics, I'm going to drop this name really quick.
Always name dropping.
Yeah. Weirdo Comics and Collectibles in Scotia, New York. Had a great talk with Josh. I would love to have him on the show sometime. So we're going to try to do that. But I had a chat with him about like, there's like a couple comic shops in the Schenectady area. His is more like a comics toys and like magic cards, Pokemon cards. So he kind of does it all. Mm-hmm. And there's like a video game shop next door, so he doesn't really try to step on their toes. He knows that person, but really cool store. He sells old toys as well, new toys. And he's a big G.I. Joe comic fan. So I was like, oh yeah, my buddy's really liking Duke. And he was like talking about G.I. Joe and stuff like that. So really cool dude. If you're in the area, go check it out. Weirdo Comics and Collectibles.
I was looking into trying the old Marvel G.I. Joe series.
Yeah.
That Image is continuing. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh.
With Larry Hama, who has been the writer for, I think they're at 354 issues now.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I was reading up on it, and apparently Skybound wants to reprint all of them with, you know, Image Skybound.
Yeah, of course. Spine. Right.
I was like, oh, that might be a good time to like try out some G.I. Joe comics, but that might be dangerous. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of them. There's a lot. Yeah. You're going to become a G.I. Joe fanboy by the end of the year.
Yeah. Fucking oh, Joshua Williamson's did it to me.
Yeah, I got to read Duke. I keep meaning to. I am interested.
Cobra 2 comes out this week, which I'm pretty excited for too.
Damn,
I like that first issue.
Look at you, G.I. Joe and G.I. Joe New Year.
Go Joe.
All right, we'll jump into this TV stuff. We got James Gunn confirming that Peacemaker season 2 is complete. It's been completely written. It should begin pre-production soon. He also said that intro sequence will be new for season 2 and will bring back the choreographer Carissa Barton, because that was probably the best part of the show.
It was one of the only shows where I watched it every time.
Yeah, where you don't skip the intro because of the dancing. Oh yeah, hell yeah. It was so good.
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm glad that this is continuing over. I think at some point he needs to put out like what's still canon and not.
Yeah, it's getting a little gray in between all that stuff.
My feeling is that the Suicide Squad's like the unofficial official beginning.
Yeah.
And like everything else is thrown out, but and obviously Peacemaker, but I'm glad the show came back. I love the show. It was so much fun. I'll be happy to see season 2.
Yeah, because I know he's been saying stuff about like, is the next Blue Beetle is going to be like, where does that stand in the continuity and all that? It's like,
I still say a lot of the stuff they said pre these movies, I don't believe.
Yeah.
Right. Because he took over, he had to, and he was tasked with get these movies out and then do your thing.
Yeah.
And he can't come out and be like, listen, I haven't watched Blue Beetle, so this is just me making comments. It's not me having an opinion on it. He can't come out and be like, well, Blue Beetle's a piece of shit, but here you go, guys. Let's go watch it.
Right. Yeah.
So him being like, didn't he say The Flash was the greatest superhero movie ever?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, he's trying to earn that paycheck.
But yeah, dude, Peacemaker 2, I'm all over it. And hopefully that means that we can get Peacemaker Tries Hard. Volume 2, because that fucking book.
Yeah, that book was really good. That book was really good. I love how they're handling Peacemaker. I think it's amazing. Delicious in Dungeon episode 6. I watched the last episode with the sorbet. That was fantastic. I did not watch episode 6 yet, but I believe you have.
I did. I mean, it just keeps being awesome. I'm going to say that every time, it feels like, because I think everybody should go and watch it. But the dishes in this one, they find living paintings.
Oh.
And the paintings are all holding food, or they're at a table with food.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So the main character's like, I want the food inside the painting.
Yeah.
So they do the classic like portal thing where they tie a rope around his stomach and then he jumps in and they hold on to it to yank him out.
Yeah.
And that was actually kind of cool storytelling, because we find out that all the paintings in this room are telling a story of this prince and how he came to power.
That's cool.
So you see him when he's first born, and then you see him later on when he becomes a man, then you see him later on when he becomes the king, and so on and so forth. And each one he gets to like enjoy actual food.
That's cool.
But the crux of it is anything you have in the painting, when you leave, you lose it. So even when he eats, he comes back, he's still hungry because the food in his stomach disappears.
Oh, that sucks.
So, but it was a cool little, like, that's I like cool. That whole thing. And then you'll enjoy the second part, Mike, because they find mimics.
Oh, hell yeah. I love mimics.
And the mimics in this world are like crab creatures. So basically it's a crab and the treasure box.
Oh, it's like the shell. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. And, makes sense in the mimic lore, I guess.
Yeah, and we also get a tie-in to a previous episode with the bugs that look like treasure. Because we find out like their whole thing is that they nest in the mimics and they put their eggs inside of them. The eggs hatch and eat the mimics.
Oh, geez.
And that's how you find treasure chests with gold and stuff in it.
Oh, okay.
But they're actually the bugs.
The bug. Wow.
So that was a cool tie-in. Like, I like the lore the building
ecosystem,
there.
The dungeon ecosystem. Yeah.
And essentially, they boil the mimic after they kill it, and it's crab.
It's crab.
If you're like crab when you're watching them, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they have the claws, and they're trying to get the meat out of it. And
that's funny. It's awesome. Yeah, that's really cool.
Great episode. I love this show, man.
Yeah, the show is so good. I've been, as far as animes go, I've been told I need to watch like Jujutsu Kaisen or something like that. I heard that everybody says that one's ridiculously good.
I heard that's on my like list for manga.
Yeah.
I've heard good things, but
yeah,
we'll talk about manga a little bit later, but I'm reading so many different series right now that I feel like I need to like dive into those further before I extend out.
Before you get more, yeah. All right, you watched a couple movies, which I guess you could talk about the worst one first out of the Marvels and Shazam 2. I don't know which, probably Shazam 2.
The worst of the two?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's the Marvels by far.
Oh, really?
This movie is like multiple movies in one, and it does a thing that movies and TV shows do that I fucking hate.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you like. So, interesting dynamic. But so first of all, the whole story is fairly rushed. It's not a terrible movie. It's just disjointed.
It didn't need to be a thing.
I like where it's going, but the movie is a standalone. Like Ms. Marvel's the best part.
Mm-hmm.
The other two characters, like I just don't like Brie Larson. And Photon she's fine. I don't mind her. Like she comes from her origin comes from WandaVision and all that. And she was interesting. I just wish she was less like standoffish in the whole movie. Cause the entire time, like she doesn't want to be a superhero. She wants to be a saber agent, but she has superpowers. So they're like, there's that.
Yeah.
Ms. Marvel just fangirling the whole time. And then also kind of learning cause Captain Marvel's kind of a dick to her. Mm-hmm. So at moments she's like forced to grow up and be a hero because she realizes the fantasies in her head are exactly that, fantasies. CGI is fantastic. I mean, it always is. The villain who was supposed to be who's the villain from Guardians of the Galaxy 1?
Oh yeah, I know. Ronan, the Accuser.
Yeah, the Accuser. So she's a follow-up Accuser because Ronan is now dead.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing there is, like, I don't mind a follow-up Accuser. We've had many Accusers in Marvel lore. The actress is bad. Mm-hmm. At least she puts on a bad performance.
Yep.
She's very bland and does not try very hard, it feels like. And her... I didn't mind her motivation. Her story arc is fine.
Mm-hmm.
So good things we saw. We got to see the Supreme Intelligence because Captain Marvel just goes and like destroys the Supreme Intelligence, and it's fairly comic accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Fight scenes were fun because they're always, if they use the powers at the same time, they switch positions.
Wow, interesting.
And so the fight scenes got very intricate and almost hard to follow, but I really enjoyed them. And then the part that really frustrated me was right in the middle of the movie, they're just like, now it's a musical. And they go to this planet where they only speak through song. And it just, A, didn't need to happen.
I don't need that in my life.
I could tell it was not Brie Larson singing. So I don't know why you did it to begin with.
Yeah.
And it was basically them doing Atlanteans in space. mm-hmm. which should have been more interesting to me, but it wasn't.
Right.
And because you forced me to sit through singing and everybody had the whole time.
Yeah. That, I didn't hear that about the movie. That's awful.
I hate when they do that. Even like when Flash and Arrow did it, I know they're all like alums to that show Glee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still, I don't want to see superheroes turn to dance sequences.
That's the Flash one was okay to me because it was like one episode and we had like 100 episodes of that show.
See, I've heard that argument, but for me, I skipped an episode. I'm like, I don't want to watch this. Mm-hmm. This is not what I'm here for. If mm-hmm. I would go watch Glee if I wanted to watch that, but that's neither here nor there. I don't know. Movie's not great. And I forgot what the end credit sequence, because
Beast, right?
So where it led at the end was that Miss Marvel's bracelet that she wears. Did you watch the show?
No, I didn't watch any of that stuff.
Okay.
No.
So she has a gauntlet basically that's handed mm-hmm. down from mother. We find out that's the cosmic bands.
Okay.
Yep. There's another one and she gets both of them, and those are able to create these portals through space and tear through time and space.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically super powerful galactic weapons.
Okay.
And the Accuser uses them at the end, opens up tears a hole in space time, and that hole leads to the Fox X-Men universe.
Interesting.
So ends up getting closed, but Rambeau gets stuck over there. The end credit sequence was her there, and Beast shows up and like talks to her for a second, and it's a Frasier Beast.
Yeah, Kelsey Grammer Beast.
Yeah. No, I said it right the first time.
Yeah. Either way, for those of you that don't know Frasier.
Yeah. No, I was just kidding. Yeah, Kelsey Grammer Beast. So that was interesting, I guess. But so I do like that we now have those bands in play.
Yeah.
They could just leave Captain Marvel. They've ruined Captain Marvel, in my opinion. Like, she's just not. She's kind of mean. Like, she's always kind of an asshole throughout like both movies, and I just it doesn't jar with me. Like, I don't know, I just always see her more, I see her more as almost a Superman like character,
right?
Like,
yeah,
she should almost be a representative of hope.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. That's just me.
Yeah, I probably still won't watch it. I did watch the end credit scene with Beast, and that was about it.
I would say it's so. I've been kind of an apologist for Marvel recently.
Yeah.
If you have not enjoyed the whatever phase we're on, phase four, I think.
Yeah.
Marvel stuff. This is not changing your mind. This will actually be the one that makes you say, "Fuck this, I'm done.
I'm out. Fuck this shit, I'm out."
Yeah. For me, it's a dip in the road of movies I still enjoy and shows I still enjoy. So
yeah.
Shazam, on the other hand, I really liked.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
First of all, Lucy Liu still has it, and it gave me weird feelings watching her on a dragon flying around.
Some weird fantasy. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a kink I didn't know I had. But
and what's her name as well is really good in it, too.
Everybody's awesome in it.
Yeah.
The whole, I like that they made fun of themselves with the Wonder Woman cameo, that mm-hmm. then later in the movie they actually do a cameo.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
It's a fun movie. If you like the first movie, like this one, it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I like all the additions. That's the one thing of the Snyderverse I will miss is this Shazam.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
But I think those two movies contained are a lot of fun. And,
yeah. I would have liked to see the third one.
Yeah.
Because they were setting something up for a third one.
If you had Black Adam not played by The Rock, we would have got a third one. But The Rock just wants to be the main character and everything.
Yeah, well, even in this, the third one, like, they were setting up Mr. Mind.
Mr. Mind, yeah, which would have been cool.
He shows up at the end, in the end credits.
Yeah.
So there was definitely something with him in mind for the third movie, mm-hmm. even without The Rock or any of that bullshit.
Yeah.
I would like to see that, but mm-hmm. we'll never get it. The Black Adam stuff, like, I don't think you need a Black Adam for these movies.
No.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, so
I
liked the DC movie and hated the Marvel movie. How about that?
Oh, shit. We're going to cut him off right there before he says anything else. So, actually, some good chunk of comic news this week. So let's just jump right into it. Marvel has announced a Doctor Doom one-shot coming from writers Jonathan Hickman and Sanford Green, with art from Sanford Green. The one-shot will put Doctor Doom against Galactus in a story that takes place in the near future. The comic is simply titled Doom. So this cover is awesome. John Hickman writing a Doom book is pretty cool. And because I'm reading Fantastic Four, I guess I'm going to read this. because I haven't seen Doom. Doom's been like out of the universe planet-wise within the Fantastic Four universe. So I'm guessing that's because of this.
Yeah, I get the distinct feeling that they gave Hickman Donnie Cates' notes.
Yeah.
Because as I watch all the stuff announced for Hickman, I'm like, this was the stuff that Donnie was supposed to be doing,
mm-hmm.
Based on what he was doing with Thor and the stuff he had teased for the future.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And to me, that's fine. Like, it's, you can't set something up like that and then wait around for a guy, even in terrible circumstances that Donnie had. You can't wait around for him. You got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody is going to follow one of my favorite writers in the industry, it might as well be one of my other favorite writers in the industry.
They had a pretty good choice. Yeah.
But this book on its own, like, it says Hickman on the cover. I'm going to try it. I mean, it's a one shot, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm about like 15 or 16 issues into the Fantastic Four series, and we got like a two-story arc Doom story where he was a dinosaur Doom. So like, that's the most they've done with him. So that I'm guessing that's because they had a plan for like,
okay. They have there's a big planet in store for Doom. Like, yeah. There's something going on.
Yeah.
And this isn't the first time Hickman's touched Doom. He's done a lot of Doom stuff with his Avengers run, with his Secret Wars book.
Mm-hmm.
So I know he knows the character, and yeah, I'm down for this book.
Yeah.
Especially one shots. I love one shots, man.
One shots are great. In and out. Read it, get out. Marvel announced the return of Punisher Max from writer Garth Ennis and artist Justin Burroughs. The series will be titled Get Fury and takes place during Ennis's Punisher Max continuity, which takes place during the Vietnam War, has Frank Castle trying to rescue Fury from captivity. Yeah, look at that. That looks old school as well. That's,
I love that cover, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's, yeah, I mean, that, like, the Punisher holding a gun aiming at you is like a classic Punisher.
That's got to be an homage to a
Spider-Man
cover.
I'm forgetting
the number.
Yeah.
Have you ever read any of the Punisher Max stuff?
No, I really haven't. Garth Ennis is like hit or miss for me sometimes.
See, he is with me too, but this is the type of stuff I normally like with him. Mm-hmm. So I would like to read his Max stuff someday, but I'm not starting here.
Yeah, if it's part of the continuity, it's like, okay, well, then I have to go back.
But I know a lot of people that love Punisher Max and are probably really excited about this book. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be huge. It's going to be a huge popularity. I mean, two Punisher books now out for people. That's great. Marvel announced another Venom comic taking place during the 90s continuity from writer David Michelinie and artist Gerardo Sandoval, titled Venom Separation Anxiety. The title will pit Venom against the Purple Man after he takes the Venom symbiote from Eddie Brock. Okay, taking place during the 90s continuity. What is happening right now?
They've been doing this a lot with their older creators.
Yeah.
They let them return to their classic runs, mm-hmm. and tell stories. And this is actually the third book in a series, because there was Venom Lethal Protector, Venom Lethal Protector 2, and now mm-hmm. this that David's done. I really enjoyed them. He gets kind of wacky with them. Like, dude, Obnoxio the Clown shows up in one of them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well,
so I'll be in for this. But yeah, it's, dude, Ron Mars does some stuff from his like 80s, 90s stuff. Mm-hmm. They recently, I forget, I think it was, no, it wasn't Milligan. It was Peter David.
Uh-huh.
Did the new Fantastic Four book returning to, do you remember the Fantastic Four when like Wolverine and Hulk were in it?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. They did a book of that continuity.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think it's a way for them to give back to these creators, but not actually cut them a check for like all the hard work they've done.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's be funny. Like, you can do this thing.
Yeah.
And we'll, it's, let you do this again. They did it with Starlin. Like, we got a ton of Thanos books years ago because they didn't want to pay Starlin for Infinity War, but they're like, just make new these and we'll pay you that way.
Makes sense.
I mean, shitty business practices, but what are you going to do?
Yep. This was interesting. Rob Liefeld announced on X/Twitter this week that after his last issue of Deadpool, Bad Blood, he is retiring from the character, saying, "I'm retiring from Deadpool. It's official. Yep. After 33 years of not only introducing Deadpool, but chronicling many of his popular adventures, it's time for the Deadpool daddy to say farewell." Yeah, he's been doing it for a long time.
So, Mike, I'm going to introduce a new segment to the show where I try to get people mad.
Okay.
And I call it... I'm very disappointed by this news, Mike, that Rob Liefeld's leaving Deadpool. Do you want to know
why?
Because this means that Rob Liefeld could actually do something I care about.
Yeah. I know it. Yeah. Rob Liefeld is like that. If you're a Rob Liefeld fan, you're like going to jump off a cliff for him. But if you don't like Rob Liefeld, you could give a shit.
I've said for a while, I think Rob Liefeld's a shitty person.
Yeah, he's definitely an asshole for sure.
And his art just is not good. I think that the Captain America cover is funny, but it's funny because it's so fucking bad.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's just bad.
But to be honest, the joke I put there aside, he will be back, everybody. Like, here's what's going on is he's doing an independent book online.
Yep.
And he's going to do it without Kickstarter or anything. He's going to do it on his website. He will get three issues out. I'm going to call it now. Three issues. Okay,
three issues, yep.
And then he'll give up on it, and he'll be like, "I have a great Deadpool idea." Because what really happened behind the scenes was, fuck, like, nobody's buying this book.
Yeah.
And then Marvel goes, "You can always come back and do a Deadpool book. Right. Here's money."
Yep.
Yeah. I don't believe this news for a second.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Jim Carrey also said he wasn't doing another Sonic movie. And here we go. We got him for Sonic 3. So.
Oh, fuck yeah. I'm so happy he's back.
You get a big enough check, people will come back.
Yeah. I don't. And to call it. Don't call yourself Deadpool Daddy, please.
Yeah. I can't believe I had to read that. That was a quote, everybody. We didn't come up with that. His self-entitled.
Like. Me and some friends were joking about, like, you know, sometimes in relationships, like, a woman will give you an out. Like, if you ever do this, we're done.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell all the ladies out there, if we ever hook up or we ever date or something, you want an out, call me Deadpool Daddy, and you're gone.
I'm out. That's all it takes. Yeah, that's, he just loves to say things that make people so mad. He just knows what to say.
Yeah.
But interesting. Yeah. Hopefully he doesn't touch any characters we like. Some good news here. Mad Cave Studios announced a new series coming this summer titled Sanction! ! The series being written by Ray Fox and art by Antonio Fuso. Amazing art. Here's the plot synopsis. Leningrad, 1987, when a woman's corpse is discovered on New Year's Day, a hungover detective, Pavel Smirnov, hands off the case to his partner, Detective Boris Dmitriovich. Man, I gotta pronounce all these Russian names. Hoping he'll close it without fuss, instead, Dmitriovich uncovers a connection to an old unsolved crime, dragging them both into an investigation and puts their careers and possibly their lives and also Chris's poll list at risk. Dude, Chris cannot wait to read this book.
Bro, dying Soviet Union crime noir book? Like, of course I'm there.
That is a really cool premise, and the art looks awesome.
I love this cover, man.
Yeah, it's a really cool cover. I think I'm sorry, Antonio Fuso. I couldn't remember his name. He's one of those guys that pops up. You know, we don't talk about him enough, I feel like, but when he does come up, his art is really good. And I think it would fit something like this. So that's awesome.
Yeah, and Ray Fox is like an underappreciated guy around the industry. Like he's done tons of stuff at like Image and a few other places. So yeah, I'm so excited for this book. And this just adds to my Mad Cave is doing things right.
Yep.
And doing them good. Because this book looks amazing.
Yeah, for sure. It does look really good. And I like what Mad Cave's been doing. Cool news, Scotty Young and Jorge Corona, who previously collaborated on the series Middle West, are teaming up again for a new series called Ain't No Grave. This May at Image Comics. Ain't No Grave is best described as a genre-bending, original, Western fantasy tale of mature readers, an Unforgiven-style journey through a Guillermo del Toro-esque lens. There's so many descriptors for this. Okay, so from the cover, it looks like East of West by Jonathan Hickman. With a little bit more eerie art, which is not a bad thing. I think it looks really cool and interesting. Good for Scotty Young for doing something, you know, like this again, where he isn't doing all the art. It looks really cool.
I think fantasy Western might be the best descriptor.
Fantasy Western, yeah.
Yeah. We couldn't fit that in the notes though.
No way. Definitely not.
I liked Middle West, and Scotty Young's writing stuff has been hit or miss with me. He's done, I think it was like Bully Wars that I didn't really care for, and a few others, but I think I Hate Fairyland, ever since he stopped drawing it, has still been good. It's not as good as when he was drawing it, but still good. I love Middle West, so I'm down for this one. It looks cool. Another great cover, by the way.
Yeah, that is a fantastic cover.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that looks really cool. Image Comics announced that Sabir Izada, who is best known as one of the writers of Marvel Studios' Moon Knight and co-wrote the Miss Marvel comic with Iman Vellani, is making his creator-owned debut with Dandelion. The one-shot will be a sci-fi anthology book with stories drawn by Martin Morazzo, Vanessa R. Del Rey, Roy Allen Martinez, and more. Interesting cover. And the plot synopsis is, when climate change and automation disrupt the lives of millions, and a new civilization is formed in the skies, one that threatens the wealthy citizens who've been hoarding Earth's meager resources for themselves. Cool. I'm a big sci-fi fan. Interesting that they're coming out with an anthology, probably just playing within this world. So I'm kind of interested to check that out.
It sounds interesting. And yeah. I like synopsis. It just, we're at a point in this world, Mike, where that hits a little bit too close to home.
Yeah, that's true. I almost don't want to read it, but I do think this is an interesting approach for sci-fi in general, because I almost think that the interesting part of sci-fi is the world that you build. And to do just a singular story of just like following one character, you don't get to spend a lot of time in certain avenues or like ideas that are formed in those weird futuristic societies. So like doing an anthology that revolves in the same universe seems pretty cool to me.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. I'll have an eye on it.
Yeah.
To see, because I like the idea, and I'll be interested to see if it's successful. Do we go back to this universe and tell more stories, or tell a longer form story, or what do we do? Or was this just an experiment? He had some ideas he wanted to get out, and here they are. But it kind of reminds me, I just backed a Kickstarter today called Slices of Life.
I did see that. Yeah, I saw you did that on Twitter.
Which is, so bear with me. Because it reminds me of it in the terms of, this book introduces a world, and then we're going to tell a bunch of stories inside of it. But this one is, in the near future, pizza is outlawed because the president was made fun of for eating pizza with a fork and knife. And each of these stories is a story about people inside that world.
Interesting. That sounds really cool.
So that's me saying, like, I like the idea of, like, let's create this world and tell a bunch of stories inside of it. but I'm just, I'm not completely sold on this. I need to see more. I need to see preview pages, all this stuff. So we'll see about Dandelion, but it sounds interesting at the very least.
Yeah. Yeah. The, I do find myself reading more and more anthologies too.
Yeah.
But, with that, I guess we'll talk about what we're reading more and more of. Let me pull my notes. So, new Dark Souls series came out today, or last week. Dark Souls, The Will of King, number one. George Mann and then House on the Art. It's a really good story. I would say it's more of like a fantasy, like D&D group-esque. There's a party coming together to find the Willow King. There's, without getting too much into the plot of like the Dark Souls universe here, of like there's like four heroes. They're going to find the king who set off to like save the world, and he became like a, he's now the Willow King. He's like this decrepit skeleton king, and they're like meeting up to just go on an adventure and find him, which is great because the introduction, the world, the characters, it's all Dark Souls style, dark fantasy, which I love that shit. So, yeah. Huge fan of that.
It'd be interesting to try the Dark Souls comics because the one thing I did really love about Dark Souls was the world design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I remember when I was working at GameStop looking at the art books because the art for those games are phenomenal.
It's so good. Yeah.
It's just, I like having fun, so I can't play those games.
I don't like to cry when I'm fighting bosses. Shazam number 8, Suzuka on the art and Wade writing it. Yeah. This wraps up the dinosaur storyline. You know, Billy convinces Zeus to be a good guy and like give him his house back. The dinosaurs like are annoyed by his little sister Darla, so they're like, okay, we don't need the accountant back, we'll leave you guys alone, which is like a fun little interaction there. And then, you know, we get everybody about the house. Tawny the tiger is cooking for everybody, and then we see that there's a creeper monster hiding in the cupboards of the house. So it sounds like we're going to get more fun storylines like we got before. Nothing like, you know, Black Adam showed up in the last storyline, but he wasn't the main part of it. He was just kind of like, yeah, stay out of my place. You know, he wasn't the main focus, which the Shazam book's a lot of fun. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it. So.
Yeah. And the dinosaur auditor gets to stay.
Yeah, he gets to stay. So we have dinosaur auditor now.
I'm so happy about that. That brought a smile to my face.
Yeah. Him hiding from like his coworkers was great.
So I think because Zeus was being kind of a dick and being like, no, I'm not going to help you with your house. And then Black Adam's the one that kind of convinced him to do it because Black Adam knew he did wrong.
Right.
I think that little creeper monster is sent by Zeus. And the next story arc is going to be like Shazam and Zeus going at it somehow.
Oh, that would be cool.
Awesome.
But yeah, that'll be cool. A cool
looks
battle.
So good.
Let's see. Fantastic Four number 17, North and Gomez in the art. So it was a fun story that's actually a continuation of a story from the 60s with Fantastic Four with Rama Tut. So they like find these skeletons, these dead bodies, and they try to find out who they are. They find out that it's Sue Storm, and it's like ignites this whole story of them going back into the Stone Age to find out why they found their dead body. Rama Tut like finds them there with like technology to kill them. Cause that's like where he leaves off in the original 60 storyline, I guess. I never read it. But then they do this whole thing where like the Fantastic Four is communicating silently with Braille because of, I can't think of her name, but the wife of the thing of Ben Grimm is she's blind. So they all have like know how to use Braille now and stuff. So they trick him into like shooting these body doubles instead of them. And that's how they blip him out of time. So he doesn't like mess with the timeline anymore. So they're all a lot of fun, like 1 to 2 shot stories. So that was another enjoyable one.
Still Ryan North writing it.
Yes. Yep. North. And then Gomez arts, this Gomez guy did the art. It was a little too anime for me, but it was all right. I got over it. Suicide Squad kills Arkham Asylum number 1. And that's Layman and Hervis. Did you read this one?
I did not.
So it's actually a good story. I thought Hervis's art is amazing. So this takes place at the end of the Arkham Knight video games. Arkham is upgraded. It's run by Argus and Amanda Waller now. After the Arkham games finished, there's a lot of dialogue. I even put a note here. Dear God, a lot of dialogue. Especially for Suicide Squad kills Arkham Asylum book. Or just Suicide Squad. Yeah, but like, come on. Lots of people start dying. So like, basically, the Suicide Squad goes to Arkham. Amanda Waller runs it. There's a lot of jokes about Batman not breaking in, and then he breaks in. A lot of people start dying, and like the Justice League is nowhere to be found. So like, cities are being attacked, and the Waller lets out the Suicide Squad out of Arkham because she wants their help. But you know, we don't know why all this shit's happening all over the world. I thought it was a good story for a Suicide Squad story. So even without the video game being there, and you don't need to know much about the Arkham stories, is that like Arkham was destroyed and now they rebuilt it, and it's better, I guess, than ever. Alan Scott, Green Lantern, number 4, Sheridan, and then Tomei on the art, Tormi on the art. So we get the origin of the Crimson Flame. And like he wasn't actually in love with Alan Scott. He was a Russian spy the whole time, planted there to get the Crimson Flame on the boat, researching it with Alan Scott. It's like the origin book. I feel like we should have got this before that JSA story about the Crimson Flame. So things seem to be like a little out of whack here, Chris. And yeah,
that would have been good to know before. Like, it makes sense now why he hates him so much.
Right, exactly. Because like, we didn't have that. Like, we had a couple talks about Crimson Flame, the Alan Scott book. But we didn't have the origin, so like, it would have been nice to have the origin before the JSA book came out. So I don't know what's going on. I feel like this isn't being handled as well as it should be.
I was just reading the thing that the JSA books just got delayed like further and further out. So
love it.
Listen, I'm just going to say this. I remember saying during Doomsday Clock, blaming Gary Frank for being late all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to apologize for the 100th time to Gary Frank.
Sorry, Gary.
It's very obvious that it's Jeff Johns.
Yeah.
Because every book he's done since then has been way behind.
I don't know what this guy's done.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jeff Johns, Ghost Machine, number 1. You know, you talked about already. I would say Hyde Street was definitely my favorite story out of that anthology. And I did like, I don't need to talk about the other characters that have been already established, but I did like the Rook character with the animal masks. I thought that was pretty cool. So a couple nice additions there.
Yeah, I really liked Rook. Hyde Street I didn't think it gave me enough.
Yeah, I wanted more of it for sure.
I liked the idea, but I'm like, what is this?
It was almost like a Twilight Zone
Tales. Yeah, it was like, listen, Hyde Street's fucked up. And then like we just moved on. Like, okay, goodbye. How, like, what, why?
Yeah,
why?
Yeah, tell me more. Batman 142, Chip Zdarsky, Kamen Koli in the art. Yeah, great art. So this is the Joker, what are they calling it? Year one. So interesting, Chris. Interesting, I would say jump of Chip Zdarsky to start a story in probably one of the least liked story arcs of Scott Snyder's run on Batman, Zero Year.
So,
which is very interesting to me. I'm not saying I didn't like it. I'm just saying it is definitely one of the least liked story
arcs. It was interesting to me to reference it.
Yeah, to like reference that timeline. But he's probably like, nobody cares about this time.
Well, if you remember, Year Zero was meant to take place before Year One.
Right.
Book is meant to tie into Year One.
Right.
But to reference Year Zero was a bold move.
In my opinion. So it was a start with the Joker's origin revolving around Zero Year. So there seems to be a few things going on. And even like we get a glimpse of three Jokers at one point where he kills the other two, right? Kind of like, so are we...
I don't want to get into it, Mike.
Yeah, I know. It was a Joker story, whatever. And now it propels us into the present day where the world is now infected with Joker people in the current timeline, like zombies, but they're Jokers. And here we are. Probably my least favorite out of all the crazy shit we got up until this point was amazing. And then to like hit this was like, just like a big speed bump for me. I was like, I don't want to read anymore about the Joker.
It's not a speed bump, Mike. It's a brick fucking wall.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you felt the same way.
He references like a bunch of stuff that nobody cares about as if he wants to fix them.
Yeah.
And I also thought they did a really bad. First of all, why is Andrew Sorrentino the lead artist on this? He has like 3 pages.
Yeah. The art was confusing. I didn't know what the timeline was most of the time.
So I assumed that when they switched art, that meant we were in a different time.
I think so too. Yeah, I think.
But they did a very bad job of like keeping you in the timelines and like the flow of the story.
Somebody knows the dates. Just give me the dates. Just put the date.
You know, just say now or in the now, future.
Before, or, after. Yeah. Like that's all I need. I don't want to think so hard.
It's a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
I'm really glad this is 3 issues. I'm really glad it's 3 weeks in a row. And then we can go next month into our regular scheduled program.
Scheduled Batman. Yeah,
please. Yes. Maybe please. Next week we'll change my mind. But as of right now, I don't know about this.
It doesn't seem like it. Yeah.
It feels like it really does feel like he was forced to do a Joker story.
Yeah. No, I agree. It does. Especially, I don't think it would ever been his choice to put something involving 0 year.
It's such a weird move to do 0 year, man.
Because especially like you have to, I think you have to give royalties to Scott Snyder because that's like his like timeline, right?
I doubt it. I doubt it.
Unless Scott Snyder's coming back for a story, that'd be interesting.
I think timelines, no, but like if they were to do, I think that's part of the reason they don't do Court of Owls is they probably have to pay Snyder.
That's true. Yeah. Right.
But I know that because they could be like, listen, this takes place during year one. So if anybody, we're going to pay Frank Miller.
Yeah. Sure.
We just said like, oh yeah, just remember 0 year happened. Then like, yeah, it's just a weird move.
Yeah. It is weird.
I did not care for this issue personally.
It seems like a jumbled mess of a Joker origin story.
I did like that we got Bullock though.
Yeah.
I'm always down for more Bullock.
More Bullock. Yep. Yep. Don't get enough of him. Titans Beast World number 6, Tom Taylor Reyes on the art. I thought that was a great fucking ending. Couple things coming out of it where we can continue even more interesting stories. Raven being replaced by the evil Raven undercover makes a very interesting story arc. And then Waller steals the Hall of Justice and makes it the Hall of Order. What? That was pretty sick. There's just a lot of cool things that Tom Taylor does. Like, wouldn't it be cool if Waller had the Hall of Justice? And like, I think wrapping everything up, you know, you got Beast Boy back by Starfish regrow their limbs, blah, blah, blah. I don't really know comic book science, but, I think overall it was a great 6 issues. You didn't have to read the side stories because I did not read the side stories. And Tom Taylor, man, fucking killing it.
So yeah, I talked about last week and so my praise.
Yeah.
I now want to say my one negative about this.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's all over. I'm really mad that we have to see the conclusion of Dr. Hate in the book Titan, because I'm not buying fucking Titans.
Yeah.
But I really want to know what happens to Dr. Hate.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too.
So
almost might get me to read it. And then I had the World's Finest Annual #1 that I had to catch up on. You read it. Just a shout out to Colin Bunn, got to write the issue with Mark Waid.
Yeah.
So shout out to him. And yeah, I think fun issue with Batmite and all the other fifth dimensional imps was really fun. And the Element Man, honestly, the Batmite and the Element Man stories were the best.
Yeah.
So really cool stuff. And yeah, I think those were the two solid stories of that.
I was looking at future issues and the covers. Yeah. We're getting Batmite sooner than you think.
I hope so. Thank God. I can't wait. But that's it. I had a lot of stuff to catch up on. So there we are for the week.
So I got one that's a few weeks old, but I wanted to bring it up.
Okay.
Because it's the last issue, and that's the Schlub #6. So this is the last issue of the series, and I just want to say to anybody that likes superhero comics and likes a little bit of like comedic comics, this is really good. I like the way it ends. It ends in a way that Stegman's like, we could come back for more. And he teases basically what the next book's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to do more. Stegman wrote this, by the way. I just really recommend Schlub. Like, I don't think a lot of people are talking about it. And it's way better than it had any right to be. And cool. I really loved it. And 6 issues and you're done. So
nice.
Thanos number 3. Mike, I'm going to read you the opening panel.
Oh, boy. It's going to be some good stuff.
This is Iron Man. I've geolocated the pickup truck Thanos stole by tracking its pre-catalytic converter exhaust signature, and I'm en route.
Wow.
Blue Marvel, you could have just said you're en route.
That's what I mean when comic books have too much to read sometimes. Yeah.
This is a really good issue, actually, because we find out that... So the woman that Thanos has been hunting, we learned last issue, is Mistress Death.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that Mistress Death had this plan because this woman came to her and said, like, you took my daughter too soon. I want my daughter back. And Mistress Death's like, I don't make mistakes, all this kind of all the typical, like, I am death stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She then goes to the Illuminati and is just like, I want to live as a human to see, because I'm told that you're all significant. There is no insignificant human.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see what it's like to live and then die as a human. But nobody can know about it. I want you to bring me this. Like, she sets all the parameters of it and then tells them, if you agree, I know of a event that's going to happen that will destroy all of humanity, and I'll let you know what that is so you can stop it. So they agree, obviously. And that's what led to the events and why she's a human on Earth right now. And Thanos ends up... The events that Thanos does leads to her death. She becomes Mistress Death again and tells Thanos basically like, hey, Dick, like, I wanted this.
Right.
There was a reason for what I was doing. They weren't tricking me. You're the asshole here, not everybody else. And then basically tells them, like, I will never love you again.
Nice.
Classic. And so nice. Now Thanos is backed in the corner with the love of his life being like, get the fuck away from me.
Yep.
So I'm sure it's going to end well in issue 4, Mike.
Oh, of course. It's going to kill everybody.
So I thought the first issue was kind of lame in this book. But now that we're here, I think it's a really good Thanos book. Cool. It just had a really bad intro. So I'll be interested to see where it ends. But yeah, good book. We'll talk about that last, Mike. Star Wars Mace Windu, number 1.
Nice.
We're not reinventing the wheel here. It's a pre-Clone Wars book. Mace Windu. There's some formula that the Jedi Council needs, so they send Mace Windu with his purple lightsaber.
Nice.
People show up, attack Mace Windu. He defeats them. And then finds the person that's holding the formula and is like, I'm going to get you out of here. It's one of those, like, all the bad guys are coming for this person, and then the one good guy is going to come and save them story.
Yep.
So... Like I said, we're not reinventing the wheel here, but it's a fun Mace Windu book. And I like Mace Windu, so. Kickstarter book, Granite State Punk, The Coven.
Oh, nice.
So this is basically the Granite State Punk origin book.
Okay.
So we get the lead character, gets in this bad accident, which I found out that the accident depicted in this book is accurate to an accident that Gibb went through when he was living in New England.
Oh, interesting.
And if that's true, holy shit, Travis.
Yeah, what the hell?
Because he literally goes to the front windshield.
Oh, my God.
That brings him to a hospital. And when he's there, he runs into somebody he used to know back in his, like, when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And we get his origin story of, like, his dad forcing him to be part of this coven, and how he got his magic powers, and they were forced to basically go on this mission to stop these ghosts that were taking over this this building. One of the friends dies during that mission, and he's blamed for the whole thing, and that basically leads to him being a drug addict and alcoholic and all these things. And as we learned in the last issue, while he was sober for, I forget how many years, but he was sober for a while. He would have to take a shot of Fireball because that was his drink of choice.
Mm.
because he has terrible taste. Gross. And he would have to take a shot of that like every day, I think it was, to hold back his magic powers. So if he was if he had alcohol in his system, his like powers wouldn't come out. And the book ends with him being like freaking out, looking like a crazy man who really needs a shot of liquor to this person because they don't know that he's this terrible witch thing.
Right.
And then he like blows up the hospital.
Oh, geez.
And it leads to this woman was a part of his coven from the origin story. And she basically comes to terms with what happened. It's like, holy shit. And then it ends with him being held by her, being like, we will figure this out. We'll get through this. It's a very fun book. It's a very emotional book. Mm. There's a chunk in the middle that I really liked because it's just kid. I forget the character's name right now, but it's him as a kid doing like the typical punk rock speech that like I know I've done.
Yep. Hell yeah.
Be like, this is why like we're gonna take down the man, all that kind of stuff. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I love this book. It's great.
Nice.
And I'm like, I'm gonna end with Ultimate Black Panther number one.
Oh shit. Ultimate Universe.
Actually, I'm not gonna end with that. I'm gonna end with trade, but that's my last floppy. It's really good. If you've never read a Black Panther book, this is a great intro. If you've only seen the movie, this is a great intro. We're in Wakanda. T'Challa is king, and he's dealing with kingly shit. And we find out that the avatars of both Ra and Khonshu have this militia army that's going through Africa, basically destroying all these tribes. And he's been tasked with doing something, but he chooses to learn more info before he acts.
Interesting.
And that leads to a moment where he has to act, and he acts as Black Panther. My only tiny, tiny gripe with the book, Mike. I think it's a really good issue. Everybody, if you like Black Panther, you should check it out. And it's also Brian Hill writing it, who's writing that Blade book.
Oh, cool.
By the way, I don't like that Black Panther, his mouth is exposed.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. It's very strange.
It's a weird design.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Everything else, though, is awesome. It's great.
He's supposed to be covered in armor.
Yeah, right? Like it's
now he just looks like Wildcat.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. But it's literally just the mouth.
Yeah, just
like
the mouth.
Everything else. It's not like it's Batman where it's his bottom.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's weird.
And I will actually end, Mike, with Dr. Stone, Volume 1.
Oh, nice.
I think you would really like this book.
Yeah, I've heard so it's good.
When you read it, I like to think of them as like in their 20s when they're actually supposed to be like teenagers. It doesn't make sense for them to be teenagers.
Right.
But that's Japan for you.
Yep, classic.
So we got these high school kids who are like super smart, or one super smart. And the basic premise is that this thing happened. It turned everybody to stone, but it didn't kill them. Mm. We then jump 3,700 years in the future. The lead character comes out of it, and then his friend also comes out of it because reasons.
Right.
And they are tasked with like surviving, and along the way they find a way to get other people out of it. But it's not like it's just dump water on them. They have to like make this thing and then put it on them, and then they come out. And what they do with that, and then the different things they do to recreate civilization.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting about this book is so right away we get like who the big bad's going to be, at least in this first couple arcs, which is a guy that they let out to try to help them, who ends up being a psychopath.
Of course. Why not?
And another thing I really like about it, which is partly the reason I think you'll really enjoy it, not only is like the story kind of in your wheelhouse, but every issue, kind of like how Delicious in Dungeon, every issue is a recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Every issue in this is a science lesson.
Oh, that's cool.
So, like, the first issue, they teach you how to make gasoline out of plastic.
Interesting.
And then you learn what, like, nitric acid is one of the major components of that formula they have to make. And they show you how it's made in nature. And, like, stuff like that.
Damn. Talking nitric acid on the comic book podcast. Fuck yeah. Let's
go. So it's interesting for a dummy like me who's like, like I assume they're correct because I don't fucking know.
Right. That's cool.
But I'd be interested to see what you think because I know you're really into science and you went to college for a lot of that stuff.
I like science. Yeah, yeah. I should know what they're talking about.
And I think the story arc fits what you like too. But it's a really good book. The art's awesome. Really great throughout it. My only minor complaint is like his friend that they let out is like, he's basically a meathead. He's like,
yeah.
He's not in the football team because it's Japan, but he's basically like, think of a football jock.
Yeah, yeah.
And he constantly like makes fun of him. I forget what he called. I read this like earlier in the week. He calls him like bonehead or something throughout it. And I get it. Like, I make fun of my friends too all the time. Like, that's what guys do. But it just kind of like took me out for a second every time he's like, oh, come on, bonehead. I'm like, man, do we really need this? Like,
yeah, it's very anime though.
I know.
That one repeating thing that annoys the shit out of you.
Yeah, it's my one minor gripe, but it's a good book.
I get what you mean though. I'll have to check it out. I had no idea what it was about.
Yeah, so Mike, that was everything I read. Where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Fortress Ricker on X/Twitter. Where can they find you and or the show?
You can find me at Fortress Chris on X or any other social media network you'd like. I'm probably there. And you can find the show on X at FortressComics_. Also at FortressComicNews.com. We have everything there that you can check out, including the books coming out next week, what our picks are, all the podcasts we do. Everything's right there. And if you want to support the show, you can give us 5 stars in the podcast of your choice. You could like, subscribe, share, comment down below on the YouTube version, or go over to patreon.com/fortresscomics. So thank you all so much for watching and or listening this week, and I will see you all here next week.